Chair, and as far as involvement from councillors goes, again, I really understand fully support it with Councillor Pearce's question here, and thank you for the answer from the Cabinet Member. One thing I'd like to put on, if at all possible, can I add an F to the list there? And really what we would quite like to hear, I'm sure everybody would be see that, would be the minutes. We'd like to have clear and published minutes of each meeting. So if we could put an F in there to that effect, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
Again, that's down to the group. It should be an independent group, therefore that's not for me to decide, but obviously that's been noted.
So we move on to the next question now from Councillor Pearce. Would you like to move before Councillor or I'll
say
that?
I'll
say
that.
Councillor Cross.
Yeah, thank you. Councillor Pearce. The Council does recognise the contribution of planting trees in our efforts towards carbon reduction, as well as marking special events such as the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. We have plans in place for tree planting, and one example of this is our plan to work in partnership with the Commonwealth Games Organising Committee and Centre and Water, which will include hundreds of trees planted in our new local nature reserve. As you know, the new local nature reserve is on Fairway. This will give us the perfect opportunity to organise the Queen's, the head of the Commonwealth, and dedicate a section of the trees to the celebration of the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. Both myself as a portfolio all around, again, this council are fully committed to tree planting. And the council, as I said, the council is fully committed to tree planting where needed, and sustainability is strategically identified. And also, the associated plan and ongoing maintenance requirements for trees. So we do have a policy as well to make sure that we plant the right trees in the right places. And we also have to look at the long-term sustainability of those trees, as that is a liability for us, so we need to make sure that we can adequately maintain those. Thanks.
Do you wish to ask any supplementary question, Councillor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, two points really. One is that, as I recall, the planting of trees in this nature reserve have already been determined previously. So I'm a little disappointed that there aren't plans for a special tree planting event by the council. Secondly, I think it would be very helpful to involve young people in the planting of trees. If that could be done in terms of this project, then that's good. But again, it would be, I think, preferable, in my view, if we were having a separate area which is going to be planted, especially in relation to the
meeting, I did talk about some of those projects, so I'm not quite sure why you're disappointed this is more trees again, so I don't quite understand that point. We are working with some schools as well, and I'm aware of a couple of projects that have come forward from young people who want to do specific tree planting in certain areas of the borough as well, and some of our green spaces, and we are actually working on that at the moment. But I will check about involvement on this, and whether schools and education is involved as well, because that is a very valid point.
In that case, we'll move on now to the third question from Councillor Pearce.
As said earlier, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Farrington, do you wish to respond to this?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, good evening. Thank you very much. Very straightforward answer to the question. And it's this: until the draft climate change and green recovery delivery plan has been assessed against our corporate priorities and assessed for feasibility of delivery, it's really only at that stage that it would be possible to consider costings, and of course, measured against that would also be an appropriate time to measure proposed outcomes. appropriate answer, and so that's the position of the council at this moment in time. Thank you. Councillor Brighton.
If that's all on that question, we'll now move on to item 7, notice of motion. Councillor Pearce, do you want to present this, or do you want to just set out?
No, sir, I would like to speak to this. Apologies for playing such a part so far. This motion is in two major parts. And essentially it's calling for action at three levels. Government, ourselves, and the County Council in their pension fund. In terms of the first part, it recognises that the agreement reached in Glasgow as part of COP26, which incorporated an agreement to bring to an end the extraction of coal, oil and gas by some of the countries, was a major step forward. This has been a glaring omission from previous COP agreements. But unfortunately, the pact didn't secure the agreement of individual countries to reduce their national internal contributions to stay within 1.5 degrees. And so that's the crucial benchmark that has to be looked at. And if that's to be achieved, then we must at least halve the carbon emissions this decade and set carbon loadings that stay within that 1.5 degrees limit. So, therefore, I'm asking that the Council calls on government to do a number of things. The budget aid cuts have been severely damaging, not only in terms of our relationships with a number of developing countries, but also in terms of their perception of how the richer countries which have benefited from the measures which have brought about climate change are willing to share those benefits with those countries. It calls for an independent review of UK fossil fuel subsidies. Many people don't realise that we are subsidising fossil fuels to a massive extent, and we're asking that these should be reviewed, also that there should be a timetable for phasing them out. Climate change should be at the heart of all future trade deals, and certainly ensure that companies are not able to sue governments for taking climate action, as is the case in some situations. We should commit to no more coal and oil or gas extraction in the UK. We should put an end to airport expansion, cancel the current road-building programme, and transfer that spending to local council zero carbon transport plans, which would enable this council to make real steps to enable people to travel in a zero carbon way. So these are the things that we're asking central government to do. Going on to the second part, it begins by noting that Staffordshire County Council has over £200 million invested in fossil fuels through its pension scheme. Of course, some of that money is invested on our behalf because we're part of the Staffordshire Local Government Pension Scheme. The UN Paris Agreement commits us to keeping the temperature increase to under 2 degrees and aiming for 1.5. The carbon budgets produced by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the UN and the International Energy Agency, show that preventing 2 degrees of warming relies on not burning 60 to 80% of all proven fossil fuels. I could continue about that, but perhaps best to focus now on what it is we're asking this council and the county council to do. First of all, that we should review our investment strategy and implement development Secondly, calling on the Scottish County Council Pension Fund to divest from fossil fuels and adopt responsible investment policies which sort of freeze on any investment in the top 200 32 trading fossil fuel companies, divest from direct ownership, set out an approach to quantify and address climate change risks affecting other investments, and actively seek to invest in companies that will reduce greenhouse gas emissions and minimise climate change. It finishes by asking that we agree to recognise that fossil fuel investment should be considered as part of our carbon footprint and the impact that it has on the world. So, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Is this motion seconded?
Seconded, Mr. Mayor. Reserve the right to speak.
Before I move back to the debate, so I'll call on the Council Solicitor to explain the process.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to advise that there's a various number of proposals there. I think there's 10 in total. One of the proposals asks this Council to reduce investment strategy and develop an implement responsible investment policy, ruling out new investments in fossil fuel companies. That would have financial implications for this Council, therefore that part of the motion can't be discussed and voted on tonight, but will be referred directly to Cabinet. But the rest of the motion is open for debate and discussion tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. Does anyone wish to speak? Councillor Cook, you would like to speak?
I shall join the chorus of silence.
They ain't going to do anything, they're just waiting.
In that case, then, we'll move straight to the vote. All those in favour of the motion, please show. All those against? The motion is lost. Moving on then to item 8, this is the appointment of an interim section 151 officer. Councillor Farrington, do you want to move this proposal?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I welcome the opportunity this evening to meet Tim Willis in person for the first time. I see that he's just left the room. The report is self-explanatory to a great degree. Both I and my fellow cabinet members and senior officers have been very impressed with Mr. Willis's performance and his input in relation to the financial issues that the council have had to deal with, and you will see that there are two issues, or three issues. Firstly, this is one of those very small inputs that is required by statute to have an appointment by this authority. Section 151 officer is core to the function of many local authorities we know. Secondly, you will see that in the report details, quite experienced Emma Fulgar has been in post on an interim basis, but for personal reasons does not wish to continue in that role. And thirdly, the purpose of this report is to seek to appoint Mr. Willis. As I said, on the basis of a very, very clear display of competence during the period that he has been with us in an interim post. And so, really, Mr. Mayor, that's the nub of the report that I asked Council to consider. Thank you very much. Thank you, Councillor Farrington. Is this proposal seconded?
Seconded, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I have Councillor Lockhart indicated she wishes to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I fully support the appointment of Mr. Timberlake in this role of Interim Secretary, qualified one officer and head of finance. I must actually express my concern because the head of the legal council has said this is a core role, and yes, it is indeed a core role. It's a core role not only for staff of Borough Council but also for counties Borough Council. However, the appointment is for a shared service and it is interim. And I note it's 5.7 that it is until the position is advertised. This gives me great cause for concern because I'm concerned about the pressure that is being put on officers of the staff of our council and counties. We really need to be aware of the fact that when we have a core position being filled part-time, then there is in fact pressure being put on other officers and staff of our council. And I would like a reassurance from the leader of the council and the cabinet member of resources that when we say when this position is advertised, that this will in fact be very, very soon to ensure that this pressure is not put on our principal officers and those who actually support them in their roles. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Do you wish to come up with that? Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, firstly, Mr. Lewis would not be wanting to fulfil the role if he had any doubts, and he has indicated that he would be prepared to do so. Secondly, I'm alluding to his great experience and excellent performance during the period that he's already been here, and it was for that reason particularly that he was deemed to be an appropriate choice. As I think is agreed by everyone, Section 151 officer is a pivotal role within any authority, and it's important that somebody of seniority and experience is put into that position. As far as any future proposals to advertising the posts moving forwards, that's really a matter for consideration at some future stage. At this point, as we know, so that this evening we're due to consider the budget proposals generally. And as I said, the fact that we're able to do so is indicative of his very hard work combined with the very hard work of other senior officers and their support over the last few months. And for such an important position as this, as I said, it's a matter for consideration moving forwards. But the primary function is to fulfil something that we are by law required to do, which is to fill this post. Mr. Willis has indicated that he would be prepared to fill the post moving forwards. And so once that has been done, assuming that the council this evening supports the proposal, then matters can turn to the future recruitment of an appropriate person to fill the post. It's something that shouldn't be done just on the hoof because of the level of experience and seniority required, and I think that should be done in a considered way. And so I'm not able to say at this stage whether or not that will be advertised tomorrow, next week, or next month. It will be done having had due consideration with senior officers, with the rest of my cabinet, and taking all factors into account. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I fully support my colleague, Councillor Walker, has just said. Of course, we'll support the proposal in the agenda today. It's important that Mr. Willis feels he has the support of the whole council when he's doing his work, and I'm sure he has. But I do really just want to emphasise the fact that we need to have a permanent appointment as soon as possible. I hear what the leader of the council says, but Section 151 officers, I believe, are few and far between in this country, and we need to start a process to find somebody as quickly as possible. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Anyone else? In that case, we'll move to a vote. All those in favour of the proposal? That's unanimous, thank you. Moving on now, item 9. General Fund Revenue Budget and Capital Programme for 2022-25. Councillor Smith, the Minister of Forward.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Well, this report is on the same lines and format as that which we approved last year. And to be honest, because of the COVID pandemic, not a lot has changed. The government has just rolled on the position from last year with a one-year settlement, with some extra grant aid and postponing the fundamental changes that work plan, that's for the retention of business rates reset, the new homes bonus. The uncertainty we had last year remains, but it has been postponed. The report sets out the budget for 22-23 and indicative budgets for the following 2 years. It covers revenue and capital as well as detailed statements for each of the portfolio budgets, council tax and business rates. The budget assumes a council tax increase of 1.9% in line with our existing policy. This represents an increase of just over £3 a year, or less than 6 pence a week for a Band D property to provide all the board services. This increases below the threshold that will require a referendum and maintains our promise of keeping increases in council tax below inflation, promise we made back in 2003. You will note the council tax base has increased slightly by 1.03% due to the number of new properties in the borough. And the council tax base is the amount of money we would collect if each Band D equivalent property paid just £1 in council tax. In general, the 22-23 budget is a continuation of the 21-22 budget, and as I said, the government has decided to delay what will be a major review of local government finance to 2023. This will have a significant impact on our budget next year and beyond, and the report attempts to project what that might mean. Indicative budgets for the following 2 years are proposed, but again, as previously stated, there is, as ever, a large amount of uncertainty. Section 6 of the report highlights the main budget issues and adjustments. Inflation has been taken into account in pay and non-pay spending. The income from our ground bin green waste collection is predicted to continue to support the budget, particularly in the light of the loss of car parking income. Itemises the impact of the government's local government provisional financial settlement. And whilst many grants were received in 21-22, they continue to 22-23. They are all subject to review. I referred earlier, and some of us are specifically flagged as WARF, and I'll point out that the settlement is provisional, but they always are provisional, and we have no evidence from previous years that it's likely to change. Section 8 provides a summary of the revenue budget and explains how the proposed budget compares to what we predicted for 22-23 this time last year. It also explains the movement between the proposed 22-23 budget and 23-24 indicative budget. Section 9 describes the reserves and balances, and Section 13 provides commentary on what I've summarised. Members will know that there are predicted shortfalls when compared forecast income against forecast expenditure for the next 2 years. This is of some concern. And discussions are currently in progress to start identifying how we can ensure the budget position will be in balance in the medium term. Whilst not being complacent, it is worth emphasising that the cause of the projected shortfalls is the anticipated impact of the government's new financial regime. And very little is known about the government's thinking in this regard. And the Section 151 officer has been at pains to emphasise the uncertainty behind the projections. Given this uncertainty, it is recommended that rather than recommend budget changes now that could have a detrimental impact on service delivery, it is better to monitor the government's policy position and keep the forecast under review, and ideas will be developed over the coming months, which can be implemented in the following years, should that need arise. And as you know, we now have a chief executive over ourselves in Canada, and one of the areas we will need to explore is the sharing of more services. I should also point out that the capital programme, or approval of the capital programme, is sought, and that is set out in Appendix 2. To summarise the report, Mr. Mayor, we are managing our way through and hopefully out of the pandemic with assistance from the government emergency grants. For 22-23, much government funding has been continued from 21-22. This, together with prudent management of our resources, has enabled us to close the budget without any need for service cuts, as well as enabling us to invest in the work, for example, through the Future High Street Fund initiative. The future of local government finance is uncertain, but the borough, unlike many other councils, has no debt and is well placed to build on its solid foundations to enable us to thrive longer term. I'll be happy to answer any questions and I move the recommendation, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Smith. Is this proposal seconded? Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to second the proposal and reserve the right to speak, please. Councillor Crook, you've indicated.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, firstly, I would like to express the thanks, I think, of the whole council, one could say, all our thanks to all the members of the finance team for all the blood, toil, sweat and tears that they put into creating this budget. It's been hard work, I've no doubt, particularly difficult this year because it's a fourth year running where the government has announced only a one-year settlement. 1 year for the fourth year running. How on earth are people supposed to do any sort of medium-term planning when the government will only give you a year at a time? And we also know that there is a lack of clarity in terms of the future of a number of other income streams, such as business rates, for example, and fair funding review. All that makes the job of people in the finance department incredibly difficult. So our very grateful thanks and our sympathy goes to all of them. Well, Mr. Mayor, it looks as though the storm is going to break in about 2023-24 and 2024-25, according to the figures. Because at that point, according to these figures, we shall have to transfer from resources balances £1.692 million and £1.851 million from reserves balances, respectively, in those years, respectively, to finance the shortfall. Now, this is a forecast. We can't say these are going to be exact figures, but it doesn't look terribly good. At this point, actually, perhaps I could deal with the idea of a balanced budget. Because the controlling group keep crowing about presenting a balanced budget, as if this is some great achievement, which it takes them ages to get their head around. Well, actually, they have to produce a balanced budget by law. They can't say, we're not producing a balanced budget, we're going to have a deficit budget, because a roof would fall in on their heads. So they have to do as they're told by law and produce a balanced budget. So what's the big deal? They keep on saying, what a wonderful thing we've done, we've got a balanced budget. Of course you've got to have a balanced budget. The government tells you you've got to have a balanced budget. So balance it, mate. And you balance it out of your balances and reserves, which is what you're doing. So let's have no more of this, oh, wonderful, aren't we so good because we can balance a budget. Right, well, that's out of the way. Mr. Mayor, the problem which the controlling group is facing in these aforementioned years of 23-24 and 24-25 is, at least to some extent, a product, it's not their own making. They've done this. They've been in control since 2003. 2003. But who's counting? But Mr. Mann, this is all to do with those two words, tax base. Now, I have been looking around at the calculations of the tax base. Now, I'm sure Councillor Smith will have done this as well. And he will know, as I do, that there are all sorts of definitions of the tax base. It depends on who you're looking at, which think tank you're looking at, which government department you're looking at. They've all got definitions of a tax base, and they're never quite the same. You can go for a totally algebraical formula down to the whole thing in English. And the important thing is you can have this wonderful sort of medieval scholastic argument about definitions of something. The important thing is the figure. The figure and what that figure means, and how you can increase that figure, and how you can decrease that figure. Now, we were told in the papers that our tax base, at this point in time, is £48,490.39. Now, you can increase this tax base in two ways. You can increase the number of houses, which, as you know, we do quite a lot. You increase the number of houses, right? Or you can increase the council tax itself, or you can do both of them. That way, you increase the tax base. Now, if you, on the other hand, flatline the tax base, then your tax base, and hence the amount of council tax you can raise for any given percentage of council tax, for any percentage increase of council tax, will be reduced. And the more you flatline it...
Could you walk in, Councillor Cook, if I can, this is almost...
Actually, I thought I had a couple of minutes left, because Councillor Smith had far more than 5 minutes. I was actually looking at the cloth. He had about 7 minutes or 8 minutes, so I just hope I should be allowed the same amount. I don't know, Councillor Smith is
objecting.
I'm sorry, but your solicitor is timeless, and he's informing your time is almost up. Could you wind up, Councillor?
I'll wind up, okay. Well, apart from that, then, I would have said you brought this on yourself because you messed up your tax base. You shouldn't have. All those years you've been in power, you kept raising it by teens the amount, or not raising it at all, or reducing it. So you've messed up your tax base. And so now, instead of being able to do it incrementally, you may have to have big jumps in your council tax. Or, what you seem to do, put up your prices of everything all the time and cut your services. And I've got a whole number of possibilities where you've cut your services ever since 2003. So, Mr. Mayor, I wind up now. Frankly, that's a problem with this controlling group, you've messed up your tax base, and now you're facing major problems, which you needn't have done had you raised the tax base on an incremental basis over the years. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Councillor. Is anyone else? Councillor Pitchell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What a great performance, Councillor Cook. Well done. But can I say to you, if our budget is not your liking, why don't you produce an alternative budget, please? Thank you.
Councillor Whittington.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with Annie, that
As council has on fees and charges and how vulnerable we are. Look what's happened. We are in the middle of a pandemic. We've had reduced car parking income, and so that's put a great big hole in the budget. Luckily though, a new tax came along. A brown bin tax, which roughly compensated for the numbers that we're saving in car parking. So I can see now why the cabinet member for the environment brought this tax in. Obviously, he predicted the pandemic. The two budgets in the future that are mentioned here in some detail, and I think it was mentioned at the Resources Scrutiny Committee. In fact, it was because I mentioned it. Inflation is obviously a lot higher and going to be a lot higher than what when the workings out were done for these budgets. So again, this is something else that's being thrown into the mix that's making life a lot harder for our finance people. The other thing I have to say, and it's not going to be very popular across the chamber, is that we squandered this authority. We squandered our geographical advantage. We are very lucky in Stafford. We are very, very lucky in the borough because we have tremendous communication links with motorways, railways, proximity to international airports. We all know the things we have an advantage there. We also know that we have lots of land for building houses, which fell into the lap of the new homes bonus, which now actually, as Councillor Smith will know better than I, is reducing rapidly. So another income that the monies that we got in this authority that other authorities didn't have. And what have we done with it? Nothing. We've got ourselves, well, I say ourselves, this council has got itself under this administration into a position where they're having to put up council tax now by the 1.9% year and year and year. And I just wish Alderman Williamson was here, because I remember distinctly a couple of years back, and Councillor Smith knows what I'm going to say, that when the 2% reduction in council tax happened, he stood up there and he was absolutely wonderful. 2% reduction in council tax. Nobody actually mentioned how much is it, Councillor Smith, in money?
£120,000.
No, it's £3.
To make sure you flip the
argument completely on that. So basically, you're singing our tune of when it happened with Councillor Williamson. So, Mr. Mayor, it is what it is, this budget. It meets their priorities, it doesn't meet our priorities. We would do things differently, and we would be fairer to the people of Stafford. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Godfrey. Councillor Paddington, you indicated. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I wish I had brought a tape recorder over the last few years, because all I would have needed to have done would be to press the play button and we have heard exactly the same speeches year in, year out. What we heard this evening is so bereft of logicality and common sense, it just fails belief. So on the one hand, we are criticised for our strategy around investment and growth and the production and the encouragement of house building. Yet on the other hand, we're told that income is vastly being If we hadn't promoted spending on house building and development, if we hadn't encouraged footfall, if we hadn't encouraged people to come and live in our beautiful borough, just think how much greater any potential deficit could be. Just think about that for a moment. We've heard reference to having to put the council tax up by 1.9%. Oh my goodness. Again, I suppose I could take the call with my own voice over the last few years, because I say the same thing back every single year, and it's this. Before 2003, council tax was increased by 6% in the year prior to that election by the group opposite. And yet we're having to put council tax up by a whopping 1.9% is still there, my goodness me. So there's a suggestion that we are relying on fees and charges. Oh, it's true to say that fees and charges do contribute to the income of Suffolk Borough, as they do throughout the country. And there are many examples of local authorities, labour control authorities, who have no difficulty at all in raising significantly greater levels of fees and charges than this authority. And the capture statement, we'd have done things differently. We would have done things differently. And then, full stop, there's no substance to that comment after that. What would they have done differently? Reduced fees and charges? Because we're all reliant on them. Increased council tax by a rate that would require a referendum. There's nothing with any common sense about the arguments that are very circular and do nothing to enhance the capability of a decent opposition, Mr. Mayor. I'm sorry to say that we've heard it all before, and no doubt we'll hear it again next year. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to pick up on those two words, growth and prosperity. Growth and prosperity for who? For this administration and this government of mates? Where during the pandemic, the rich have got richer and the poor have got poorer. Try talking about growth and prosperity to the people out there who are queuing up at food banks. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just would like to point out to the opposition Stone Measure strategy, 45,000. Victoria Park refurbishment, 69,000. Charnley Road Park, 14,000. Gatehouse Met Rigging, 76. Holcroft Leisure Facilities, Jubilee Plainfields, Nosal Leisure Facilities, Yarnfield Recreation Facilities. Goes on and on. This is what we've done 2021, 2022, when I've just heard we do nothing. I think there is a huge amount gone into leisure over the last year, and no one picks up on that. We do nothing. How do we do nothing?
Mr. Mayor, but it was all the borough council money, because it's section 106 of the
council.
I thought that was a wonderful contribution to tell us what you do with 106 money. The point of my raise, Charnley Road. Charnley Road should have been developed something like 25 years
ago.
Well,
you can charge
it. But it was actually moved. It was moved. It was moved up to Wildwood on certain political reasons.
Okay.
But when you talk about Charnley Road, don't talk about what you've done. It's what the MOD did. They built those houses. And that money, the money that was set for doing Charnley Road, came out of the military building project.
The
nothing to do with this council.
The money mails, that's all.
Nothing at all to do with this council. They don't crow about it. Get the facts right.
Thank you, Councillor Kerr. Councillor Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to finish off this, hopefully, leader of the council kept using the word criticism. Deal with people, and the only organisations I am criticising are the Conservative Party and the ruling group, in particular the ruling group in this council. They're the only people I'm criticising, nobody else, made that very clear. And also, just to what Councillor Kilbridge just said, yes, absolutely fine, yes, there's some very nice developments that have taken place in Stafford in recent years, and some taking place now, and some literally just finished. But, as Councillor Kemp has just said, lots of these are this Section 106 money, grant money. Very little has come through the council, and these things would not have happened without grants, and it was a council staff that's done the bidding for these grants, and got the grants, not this administration. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor
Kemp.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A couple of further points, really, that need to be brought into this debate. It's very clear that the coronavirus outbreak has done huge economic damage to the UK and to the global economy around the world. No mention of that has been made this evening, and yet over the last 2 years, this council, has done astonishingly well in relation to supporting the local community, worked all hours, particularly the finance department and the fiscal authority, worked all hours, gone well beyond call of duty, if that's what I've raised, in terms of the work and the commitment. And I think it's right that we should publicly applaud the work of the finance department in particular, as far as that aspect is concerned, because not only are we producing a balanced budget for discussion this evening, but it's against that background. It's against that background of huge economic damage everywhere, and yet we're still in a position where we're spending large amounts of capital money on lots of capital projects, delivery of two sport centres, delivery of new swimming pools, delivery of leisure facilities generally, delivery of proposals around Westbridge Park and so on and so forth. So it's really important to make that point. And the second point was around the geography point. It's as a result of the geography that this borough is reflecting very well against a difficult national picture. Not anything to do with squandering. The interest from developers and the proposals moving forward around the redevelopment of our high street and the wide plain is well documented. And that's as a result of the geography. Got nothing to do with squandering. What? It's just not logical. The things that are being said by this opposition just don't stack up, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Hobbs.
Councillor Kerridge talks about sports facilities and support for health activities, but this has actually been reducing in the borough. We have no access to badminton and squash courts in stone. I have asked you about that.
Yes, yes.
And also, the pools in Stafford are smaller. The leisure centre pool is smaller. And there are less badminton courts. There are less badminton courts in Stafford as well. So just at a time when people need to be healthy and resilient, these facilities are depleting.
Thank you, Councillor Hobbs.
Anyone else
wishing
to speak?
Councillor Smith, you want to? Well, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. A couple of major points, really. Councillor Cook talked about balanced budget. I don't know if there's anything about balanced budget, it's not. He talked about tax base. It's actually factually wrong. The tax base is based on number of properties. And the tax base is the amount of money that would be collected, and this is the third time I've said this, is the amount of money that would be collected if each Band D property paid just £1. You multiply that figure by the £162 and you get the councillor. Don't shake your head, that's a fact. The one officer will agree with you. Now, fees and charges. we talked about fees and charges last year. I have the pleasure of reminding Councillor Godfrey what Manchester City Council, where Conservative councillors are rarer than hen's teeth, and they make money from dividends from their airport. This year I want to look up somebody else, another one there, Labour Council, where they have fees and charges which support them, and one of the most deprived areas in the country, Liverpool City Council. Again, not a Conservative councillor to be seen. They have a £1.6 billion budget. Income from fees and charges, including income from their interests in the Liverpool Airport, £157 million. £6.8 million of that comes from the airport. Council tax and business rates brings in £246 million. But because they're a deprived area, they get £1.1426 billion from the government. That's why we only get £400,000. Mr. Mayor, I can only endorse what Councillor Marina
said.
I think it's a side of my age, Mr. Mayor. So, and we talked about it as well, about 106 money. Yes, we have spent 106 money, but we've got 106 money because we've attracted investments. Your people are building. But more than that, we've built two new leisure centres, not with 106 money, and we put £2 million into the Western Access Road, not with 106 money, and we put £800,000 towards Victoria Park's refurbishment. Okay, well, £1.2 million came from the National Lottery. We put £800,000 in, council tax money. So don't tell me we don't spend money, we do. We can make savings by efficiency savings. Councillor Godfrey said that resources, that means cuts. No, it doesn't. 10 years ago, we introduced a brown bin service free of charge and reduced the council tax at the same time. That's what you do with the efficiency savings, and that's how we'll balance the budget in 2 years' time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, there were very prosperous times, I believe, as a Labour government.
Indicators and parameters for borrowing and investments. And the investment investment strategy and treasury management policy for 22-23. We did consider this report at Cabinet on the 13th of January, and the Audit Council Committee considered it on the 18th of January, and it's submitted to Council for approval. In simple terms, the report sets out how we fund the capital programme, our level of borrowing and how we account for it, and our level of investments and the criteria used to invest. It's an extensive technical report and reflects our strategy should we need to borrow. And it also gives advice on investment. The strategy has not changed from when it was first adopted in 2018. It's seeking approval for setting the prudential and treasury indicators for 22-23 for borrowing and investment, which will ensure that the capital investment plans of the council are affordable, prudent and sustainable. It also sets a minimum revenue provision policy. As you know, due to the financial management of the council has invested in numerous capital projects over the years, as I mentioned earlier, Stonehenge, Victoria Park and the Western Access Road, but as yet has not had to borrow. However, there is a valid business case that is prudent, sustainable and affordable, and it delivers our policies, then we will borrow. You'll probably recognise that the latter parts of the report are a commentary on opinions of our consultants and the SIPFA views about the UK economy in general. And the final appendix spelled out the role of the 151 officer in respect of the management of the council's finances. And I've said before, the 151 officer is one of three officers all council boards employ. I'd like to place on record my thanks to our new officer for his sound and prudent advice in picking up the reins at short notice. As I say, Mr. Mayor, there's a large amount of technical detail in this report, which is a requirement of the Capital Finance and Prudential Code. And I move the recommendation, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just that point of interest, take on board everything that Councillor Smith has just said, but page 110, 110. It's good to see how strong the UK investment strategy is and how well the rest of the world view us. Didn't the UK used to be AAA?
Say it again, sorry.
Didn't at some point, and then it seems to have gone to AA plus, we're not there, and we're not on AA, and we're AA minus. Doesn't look good, does it? Is that some reflection on the way the country's run? Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, the report's very clear. This is based on those countries which have sovereign ratings of AA minus or higher. This is in one of the highest categories in the world, Mr. Mayor. What's the problem?
But Mr. Mayor, it was so much higher.
Thank you, Councillor. Is anyone else wish to speak? In that case, we're going to vote. Do all those in favour of acceptance? That's carried. Moving on now to item 12, charitable collections policy, as to house collections, street collections, and staff. Councillor Price.
Thank you. The council currently has a street collection policy which was produced in 2011. However, the policy only covers street collections and does not cover house-to-house collections, which we are also licensable for. Southborough Council is responsible for licensing charitable collections, which, as I've said, falls into the two categories, house-to-house collection of money or property, and street collections, which include collections of cash or the sales of articles in the street. I therefore ask if this council approves that the policy be implemented on the 2nd of February 2022, to allow a delegation to the head of operations and consultation with the head of law and administration and cabinet members of the environment to make necessary modifications to reflect changes in legislation or case law to promote efficient administration of the licensing function without any other consultation. Thank you very much.
Is the proposal seconded?
Second, Mr. Mayor, reserve the right to
speak. Thank you. Wish to speak? In that case, do you wish to speak on this, Councillor Bird, or shall we move to a vote?
Given the hour, I'm more than happy to move to a vote.
In that case, all those in favour of acceptance of policy. That's carried unanimously.
committee. So in that case, I'll declare the meeting closed. Thank you all for coming.
Councillor Lynch-Nevin, Mr. Samuels, the local manager of the borough, Councillor Tony Nixon.